And there we go. Someone said that there's no clock here. And I said, that's dangerous. So I'm going to put this little apparatus over in this corner, see if we can get things taken care of here. I've not quite made the switch that some of my brethren have made using their pads and devices and so forth. And I use some of those things, but I was having some trouble with pulling up some of the notes I wanted, and so I'm gonna try to go to this little pad dealy that I've got up here, and we'll see how it works today. It's good to be back in Kansas. It's good to be back with you folks again. It's good to be able to anticipate the Lord's help together. And as we're here these few days, I trust that God will assist us. I feel the theme that has been upon my heart. I've actually been going in my church, we've been going through a, kind of a series, and not just every Sunday, but picking up the thread of it. The thought of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. We're at war. And if we forget that, we're going to be hurt. And unless we keep that in mind and keep vigilant, we're destined to some real deep disappointments. And possibly even worse than that. I feel like that as the Lord would help us, we'd like to look into some different areas this morning. I'd like to take some time to just lay a foundation as far as thoughts for this week. And then in the next 2 or 3 days here, I'd like to go to Joshua. And you can read the first 7 chapters of Joshua if you'd like for tomorrow morning, as well as Deuteronomy. I believe it's Deuteronomy 38. And there you'll find a little thread that begins and finds a real impact in Joshua. So if you'd like to be preparing your mind and heart for with the scripture, where we'll be looking in the next few days. You can look at It is going to be Genesis 38. Genesis 38, and then Joshua 1 through 7 as the background scripture. Warfare. I'm going to read first of all this morning from Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. As we pick this scripture up in reading this morning, we recognize it as one of those descriptions that God gives to us of the direct impact, points of contact in this war. And I'm going to read verse 7 and verse 17, then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I need to raise this. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. But the verse doesn't stop there. The dragon fought and his angels. It's wonderful to know that God is on our side, but we have an enemy that is determined to go down fighting. Verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now as we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read the first 6 verses there. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Number one, we're at war. I remember when the first Gulf War was pending, and it was just that tension building and building and building and building and building. And I remember we were waiting for the birth of our last daughter, our fourth child, and we were at our relatives in New York, and we'd been on the mission field, and we were home for a few months and awaiting that arrival of our little one. And it was in January when everything began to break loose. And I remember as we laid on the floor of that living room and had the radio going and listening to the, as they were calling out, this is happening and this is happening. And you just, the room itself, we weren't even there, but the room was static with tension as to what was happening. Just after that, we went to camp meeting in South Texas. Brother Earl Newton was one of the evangelists there, and he was talking about how difficult it was for him trying to prepare for the messages and so forth. Just the fact of this happening and wanting to listen all the time. We're at war. It's constant. It's every day. The landmines, the booby traps, the ways in which Satan works, it's consistent every day. He doesn't let off. It doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter what your family lineage is. It doesn't matter if you have come from a family where people have consistently served God. The devil is determined to destroy us. He's after you. This war is spiritual in its background and foundation. Now, I'm going to be saying some things that are, you know, yeah, duh, we know that. But sometimes we forget that we have to tie our shoes spiritually. Sometimes we can forget some of the simplest things. I don't recall the basketball coach, who he was. I just remember the illustration that someone had given that here it was a fellow that had played basketball for years and was a champion of some kind, and he went to join this new team, and the coach brings all these new fellas in, sits them on a mat just like they were kindergartners. And he said, sit down. He said, take your socks off. And so everyone did what he said. This fellow's brand new, and he said, here he is already a professional player, and he's going, what is this guy getting at? He says, I'm going to show you how to put your socks on. He thought, put my socks on? I've done that since a kid. But he had some kind of a method. He showed them how to put their socks on, and he said, you know, I didn't realize what the fellow was after, but he said, from that day on, I never wore a blister in my foot. It was the little things. And sometimes we can forget the little things. We can look at the big battle out there, and we can be concerned about the big things that are happening, and you know, the abortions, and we can think of the ways in which the political parties are fighting and trying to gain control of our country. But if we're not careful, in your closet you can be wounded. In that secret place, I can be wounded. In that simple day-by-day walk, we can go with a limp, and it'll destroy us. This war is spiritual in its background and foundation, but it can assert itself in very real physical forms. Sometimes this war, and many times, I would say, my experience as a pastor, more often than not, this warfare takes on the face of another human being. And they're not all sinners either. I have noticed, I suppose, one of the greatest attacks in the areas of warfare that the enemy, and we'll probably be getting into some of this later, but I think that in these last several years, some of the greatest battles we have fought and struggled and prayed over are the battles that are fought with the enemy trying to break up family relationships, Christian relationships, church relationships, conference relationships. The enemy is trying to break down relationships. He's trying to scatter us. He's trying to put a face on the problem. And all of a sudden, when that problem takes on the face of someone you had confidence in, It's devastating. It begins to take on a focus that if you're not careful, you can be swallowed up and you can be taken, sucked right into the enemy's devices, to where you begin to struggle against an individual instead of realizing this is the enemy. This is the devil himself, not that person. But he is back there trying to influence and trying to infiltrate. And unless we recognize that, we can be hopelessly disappointed in people. Hopelessly disappointed. Number three, we cannot escape. This fight is eternal from the beginning of time, and God is going to see it through, and we cannot escape the fight. There's no way that you and I can take some kind of a neutral stance. This morning, you are on God's side or Satan's. This morning, right now, I am either on God's side or Satan's. That's where it boils down to. There's no neutral ground. And along with this, so many times issues come in and we begin to have to take a stand somewhere and on something. And if we're not careful, we can lose sight of the fact of where the real focus has to be. We can't escape the fight. Number four, I'd like to say that we already know the outcome. Read with me as we read from again from Revelation chapter 12. And again, we're just laying some foundation for some things here that as we go through it this week, I believe that God can help us to learn and we can fight. We can fight in a way that is intelligent. We can fight in a way that can give us the victory. We can fight in a way that we're not just beating the air. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, this is one place in my prayer place I park on this verse. Because it seems like every time I try to pray, there's a hindrance. I don't know how you are. There's times, there's once in a while that I feel a craving urge to go and read my Bible. But more often than not, there's a sinking disposition that, oh, I'm just going to fight through it again. Is that me? No. It's the enemy standing there as you make that determination. It's time to pray. It's time to read. It's time to study God's Word. He has access to your mind. He has access to your emotions. He has access to so many things that we fail to recognize it. And many a time I've gone to the place of prayer and some of the first words out of my mouth are, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And when I read this, they, who are they? You, me, they overcame. It's not that they just barely eked out some kind of something that they could call victory, but they absolutely triumphed over Satan. And then we begin to read, well, who is this deceiver, this dragon? Who is he? This one that was in the very presence of God. This one that seems, as we read Scripture, that he was the one next of all the angels, next to God himself. And somehow, somewhere, a little tiny thought of pride entered his heart. And he began to foster and think and connive and ponder, how can I set my throne above the throne of God? In other words, I want to be God. I want to give the orders. I want to be in charge. And as that rebellion and that revolt began to foment in heaven, and God cast him out. Satan was cast out into this earth. And he comes as a thief. He came and convinced Adam to share that place of authority that Adam was to take responsibility for. And by obeying Satan's orders, he simply placed the right of authority into Satan's hands, the right of authority over this world. And all of us are tied by that decision of our father, Adam. And as we watch the scene unfold and we see the implications of it, Adam had no idea the full length of it until today. We're facing all that we face. And yet here's this one. He was in the very presence of God. He was able to convince a third of the angels that lived in the presence of God to follow him. And then there are people that think they can outsmart the devil. There's people that think that they can outsmart the deceiver of mankind. This one that has such power as to be able to convince the angels of God to leave the presence of God. And yet the Bible tells us this great deceiver has no effect over they. They overcame. They conquered. They had the victory in spite of him. Who? You. Me. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. I have discovered in my own life a little different rendering of that word. As far as the word of their testimony, it does, I believe, apply to the fact that we publicly announce where we are. We publicly make ourselves accountable. But I think it goes far deeper than that. There are times when, and I've shared this many a time, and my wife has told me whenever I preach like this, she said, "Now, Daryl, you just say what you need to say." So I'm going to say what I need to say. And I may have shared this in the past. I've been here a few times. There was a time when I don't even recall what it was. But there was something that my wife said to me. And it was said, or I heard it in such a way, that it was an emotional dagger to my heart. I struggled over that. It was sometime in January because when I got the victory over it, I was up in the attic putting away Christmas stuff. So that's where I know where that happened. But it just seemed like my mind was being crammed with this emotional something that was going over and over and over. And I felt like, I don't know what to do with this. What do I do with this? And I was up in there in that attic, and it just hit me again. And all of a sudden I said, "Lord, where is this coming from? Is this coming from my heart?" And all of a sudden, it just seemed like the curtains were pulled away, and I saw that it was the devil. He was just, just repeat. And all of a sudden I said, "This is Satan, and I resist you in the name of Jesus." It was gone. I didn't have any feelings, ill feelings towards my wife because of what she said. I couldn't even remember what she said. And I began to realize, this is the devil. And I would venture to say that there's more couples sitting in our churches that have problems like this than we would like to admit. That many a time the enemy will get in between a husband and a wife with just little tiny things. Don't amount to anything. And yet he starts playing on it, and he plays on it. He does it just like you got a little sore on your toe, and it's microscopic almost, but you begin this limp, and you, wow, what is wrong with me? And there's been times when I fairly recently, I was at a sale one day, and my foot began to hurt, my whole leg began to radiate a pain up my leg. That night when I was cleaning up from the day and I looked at that toe, and there was the tiniest little spot there, but it just began to radiate pain. And it began to inflame, and as far as the pain, the feeling of pain, I was so tired in that leg. And it was really next to nothing. By the way it felt, I thought I had a great big blister on the bottom of that toe. And the thought made it worse. And so it just kept playing. And that's exactly the way the devil likes to play with you and me. He likes to make us feel like that statement, that something. And we've got to remember something. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, I believe it is, Jesus gives us the direction of temptation. He says, and if we could do it through his commandment to us, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. As I was studying that some time ago, it just seemed like I could see the heat-seeking missiles that the devil sends, the fiery darts that he sends. reverse that. Where does temptation usually come from? It's usually a person. Whether it's a picture of a person, whether it's a statement of a person, whether it's something a person is singing, whether it's something that, whatever, it's usually another person that the devil uses. Either you saw them, you heard them, something happens, that's your strength. That talks about your physical. Whether it's the eye gate, the ear gate, however. He has access to people. He has access to the things that you see and hear. He has access to your mind. There's where the battleground really, really takes place. He has access to the battleground with your mind. So Jesus said, heart, soul, mind, strength, your neighbor. The devil sends this temptation through somebody. It enters into your life somehow. It goes to your mind. And almost on the heels of that, it is introduced to your emotions, your soul, that soulish nature. That's something where all your emotions are affected. And friends, don't think that the devil doesn't have access to your emotions. I think we have failed. I think that we have exposed ourselves to unnecessary attacks of the enemy sometimes, to think that if I feel a certain way, then I must not be saved. Or if I feel a certain way, I must not be sanctified. Because the devil does have access to your emotions. You say, well, I know that he has access to my mind. There's sometimes thoughts that come through. Wow, where did that come from? Lord, I resist that in Jesus' name. And he flees. But there's times also that the enemy, and when this temptation comes, it can come through the person, right into your heart, right into your physical, whether it's whatever eye gate or ear gate the enemy uses, into your mind, into your emotions, almost in an instant. There have been times when I've recognized this is the enemy, and it happened so quickly. I was broadsided. But it comes against the door of your heart. God will not break that door open, and the devil cannot break that door open. It can only be opened from the inside. And that's where the temptations come. That's where the battleground is. The enemy is seeking an entrance to your heart, to the core of who you are. And if he can build up, if he can build up a stronghold, if he can build up something there that begins to build resistance to God, then he's got us. But we know the outcome. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Now let me go back. As I was telling you, I was up in that attic praying. And when all of a sudden I said, this is the devil and I resist him. What was I doing? I was testifying against him. I was identifying him. It was like one of the first times we went to the Bahamas. One of the first times we went far south. We went to the Bahamas. And I remember that first night when we walked in after church and turned the light on, and those great big roaches were all over the place. Those kind of have those, you know, antennas are just kind of, you know, wave in the air. You talk about creepy. It was the first, it looked like little devils all over the wall, you know. And I found a little method of getting rid of them that it was quite effective. But it was the moment you turn the light on, boom, they were gone. And the moment you identify Satan with the light, with a word of testimony, and you resist him verbally. Another time, I had gone into a place of business. I was on a trip. And as I'd gone into this place, there was a gas station, just a convenience store, whatever. It wasn't the
the total pornographic magazines that were there, but there was a lot of uncleanness right there. And just walking up, there was a glance. I saw it. The enemy, as I got back in the car, see, it was somebody. I saw it. It entered my mind, and then he started playing a harp. Ding, ding. He just started bringing that picture up. Once you see something, you can't unsee it. And I thought, what do I do with this? I tried to think of something, and all of a sudden, this scripture came back, and this method came back. My family was in the van behind me, and I said, Jesus, you see what the devil just has tried to plant in my mind right now. This is him, this is his stuff, and I resist it, and I rebuke him right now. It was gone. It was gone. We can fight needless emotional, mental battles. We can, as long as I sat there in that van seat and tried to push it out, I couldn't. It wasn't until I verbally gave testimony. And you know, friends, I strongly believe that the enemy cannot know what you're thinking. And you can try to be pushing stuff out of your mind. But he doesn't know that. And he just keeps playing his harp. It's not until you give verbal recognition, this is Satan and I reject him. James said, if you will resist the devil, he will flee from you. And as we do that, we're entering into this battle, and we're actually working the battle according to God's standard. We can fight, we can struggle, we can. And until we recognize the enemy, and until we recognize he is fighting, and until we recognize that this battle comes from him, and we give a word against him in resistance, we can fight long unneeded battles. But we know this outcome. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by an attitude that says, I love not my life unto the death. I'm in God's way for keeps. I'm in God's way for keeps. If there's a secret door of escape in the time of pressure and temptation that you've carved out for yourself, you'll never stand against the enemy. But if you and I have that determination, that word, that desire, that love in our hearts for God that supersedes and goes far beyond what death can ever do, they overcame him. And then as we read in Revelation chapter 20, we find there that John saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A great voice came out of the tabernacle, and he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We know the outcome of this conflict, and we're invited to join God's side of the conflict. You know, I think, and I'll say this in closing, I think that one of the most tragic things that a person could awaken to would to be to stand in the presence of God and realize that after all that God has done, I missed it. After all the opportunities I've had, and I could have stepped over the line onto God's side of this. I could have committed myself. I could have. And yet I didn't. For whatever reason. It's going to be a sad day for those that come to that point and realize, I've missed it. I've missed it. Let's rise up, friends. Let's rise up against the onslaughts of the enemy, against the attacks of the enemy, recognizing that we are the winners. We are those that are the conquerors. We are the overcomers through the power of the blood of Jesus. In closing, I already said in closing. That's bad. I'm going to say in closing again. I want to give you one statement that I want to work on later on this week. It's from a book that I received from a friend many years ago, Reclaiming Surrendered Ground. It's the definition of the scripture that we read from 2 Corinthians. Talks about that our method of warfare is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'm going to be repeating this because I think it's very important, but I wanted to give it to you initially here. Ed Silvoso, an Argentine, made this statement. He said, a stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes me to accept as unchangeable something that we know is contrary to the will of God. That's a mouthful. A stronghold is a mindset. It's that thought that Satan is able to inject into your mind. Whether it's, I just will never have victory over this. Or, I just will never be able to see that happen. Or, when you're praying for a loved one, they're so far out, they're so far gone. And the enemy begins to play on your mind and say, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. And so he begins to build a stronghold with that mindset. And with it is a hopelessness that causes me to accept as unchangeable. Well, I guess this is just the way it's going to be. Does God want that child to be lost? No. Does God want that situation to go on? No. Does God want that defeat in your life? No. But we can allow the enemy to build a stronghold to where there's a sense of hopelessness that causes me to accept as unchangeable something that I know to be contrary to the will of God. As I read that statement some time ago and then began to reread it, began to redevelop that thinking, Lord, help me. You said that your power in this warfare will help me to the pulling down of strongholds. Those areas where the enemy may have convinced even God's children against things that we should not be accepting as final. We should not be accepting as the final word of God on it. But something that we can fight through. And we can pull that stronghold down. And we can see victory through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, let's look at God afresh and anew this week. As we look into His Word and recognizing that there's victory for us. this battle is deeper, it's darker, it's more difficult. It seemed like it's harder. The pressures of darkness are coming in a stronger way. But we're standing on the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be among those overcomers. Praise His name. We'll stand together. Father, as we close this service, we're asking of You that as we're gathered together this week, You'll help us. As we look, Lord, into these areas of spiritual warfare, Lord, we don't have the answers. We don't feel like we're anywhere near the place of being an expert at all. But, oh, Father, we pray You'll help us as we look into Your Word together, that You'll help us to wage a warfare that will glorify the Son of God and see victories over the powers of darkness. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.